In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. We do this by phone because my blue box is not working. So we do the best we can. I just came home from St. Edward's in Nashville, Tennessee, and it was a wonderful time for me as well as for many people. The Lord blessed many people. Thanks be to God. It's Jesus who does the blessing. It's Jesus who does the healing. There were two little children that I got on the second night, and I just felt in my mind that God wanted to heal epilepsy. And so I said, anyone who's epileptic, come up. I used to be epileptic. And then these two little children came with their mother, and we prayed with them in the name of Jesus by the power of the blood. I pray that they're better. You know, it's a terrible thing, that disease. It's a terrible thing. So again, I want to thank the people at St. Edward's Church in Nashville, Tennessee. I want to thank Father Dan. I want to thank God especially for showing up and doing what he wants to do and doing it the way he wants it done. I'm looking at the 10th chapter of Mark. People were bringing little children to Jesus, just like those little children with epilepsy, in order that he might touch them, and the disciples spoke sternly to them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them, for it is such as these that belong the kingdom of God. Truly, I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he will never enter it." And he took them up in his arms and his hands on them and blessed them. So Jesus blesses the little children. You know, I'm going to tell you about little children. In the time of Jesus, they had no worth. They had no worth. But Jesus sees these little children have infinite worth, because ultimately of the blood of Jesus that he's going to shed for them, as he shed for you, as he shed for me. And as he was setting out on a tour, a man ran up and knelt before Jesus and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear witness that's false. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother." And he said to him, "Teacher, I have kept all these since my youth." Jesus, looking at him and loved him. I love this. He loved him and said, "You lack one thing. Go sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." When he heard this, he was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions. You know, I ask myself, do you think he ever came back? Oh, I hope he came back. I hope he came back. Once Jesus loves you, you get captivated by that love. Once Jesus encounters you and you encounter him, you get captivated by Jesus. So I think this guy came back at another time. Now, I'm not sure of that, but that's what I think. Because once you taste the love of God, everything else is vinegar. The love of Jesus is that sweet wine. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were perplexed at these words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." They were greatly astounded and said to one another, then who can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, for human beings it is impossible, but for God all things are possible. Only believe, only believe, all things are possible. Only believe. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. All things are possible. Lord, I believe. I believe. I believe you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. I believe you are the Father's only Son. Oh, I believe that Mary gave birth as a virgin. I believe, I believe, I believe. Peter began to say to Jesus, look, we have left everything and followed you. And Jesus said, truly I tell you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or fields for my sake and for the sake of the gospel who will not receive 100-fold now in this age, and houses and brothers and sisters, mothers and children and fields with persecutions. He doesn't say fathers because we only have one Father, the Father in heaven. So God promises us persecution, not cancer. God does not give cancer. God does not give sickness. God heals people through the medicine and through prayer. By the grace of God. Do everyone get healed? Does everyone get healed? I'd like to tell you the truth. No. And you might say, why? I have no idea. But I do see people that do get healed. And that's what I need to do. I need to concentrate on what God is doing. But you know what? I believe if people continue to come to the Lord, even with their cancer, I'm going to tell you, they get healed inwardly. My friend Paul, who's my best friend, he died of cancer. And the day before he died, I said, you're ready to go see Jesus. And he says, I have to prepare myself for such a great, great action. And he did prepare himself. He died the next day. And I thank God for Paul. Thank God for Paul. Thank God for Paul. With persecutions, in the age to come, eternal life, but many who are first will be last, that's the Jewish people, and the last will be first, that's the Gentile people. They were on the road going up to Jerusalem. The only way to get to Jerusalem is to climb up to Mount Zion. And Jesus was walking ahead of them. He's the shepherd, walking ahead of the disciples. They are the sheep. They were amazed, and those who followed were afraid. He took the 12 aside again and began to tell them what was going to happen to him, saying, see, we are going to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be handed over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death. Then they will hand him over to the Gentiles. They will mock him and spit on him and flog him and kill him. And after 3 days, he will rise again. He's telling them what's happening. He tells them, I'm telling you, I'm going to Jerusalem, and I'm going to die. But after 3 days, I'm going to rise. Oh, yes, I know the disciples did not want to hear this. I know the disciples wanted to hear, let's continue our healing services, so the great healing service is going to come on the cross. You know, this cross of Jesus Christ is our victory. The cross of Jesus Christ is our victory. It's our victory alone that the blood of Jesus was shed for us. The blood of Jesus was shed for us. I'm in chapter 10, verse 35. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came forward to Jesus and said to him, teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you. And he said to them, what is it you want me to do for you? And they said to him, grant us to sit one at your right and the other at your left hand in your kingdom and in your glory. But Jesus said to them, you do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? That's death. They replied, we are able. Then Jesus said to them, the cup that I will drink, you will drink. And with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit on my right hand or my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared. It's very interesting. After being with Jesus 3 years, they're still vying for power. They're still vying for power. It's not about power. It's about humility. It's not about power. It's about the grace of God. It's not about the power of the world, because Jesus came as a slave. He emptied himself, taking the form of a slave. It's not about power. And you know, they want that kind of power. The only power that we are promised is the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of God. It is better for you that I go away, Jesus said. If I do not go away, I will not send the Holy Spirit. When the 10 heard this, the other 10, they began to be angry with James and John. So Jesus called them and said to them, you know that among the Gentiles, those whom they are recognized as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. Whoever wishes to become great among you must become your servant, just like Jesus. And whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all, just like Jesus. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Are you one of the many? Please say yes. I believe, I praise, I worship you, Lord. Yes, I'm one of the many by the grace of God, that the blood of Jesus was shed for me on the cross. That's the power of God, the blood of Jesus shed for me on the cross. Do you know that today? That Jesus Christ has shed his blood for you and for me on the cross. Let's continue. They came to Jericho, and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, so they don't stay there very long. Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was a blind beggar. This is interesting, because Bartimaeus means son of Timaeus. He has no name because he's blind. Peter is called Simon Bar-Jonah, Simon, son of Jonah. Bartimaeus has no name. It's only the son of Timaeus. He was a blind beggar, and he was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Why does he shout? Because he can't see. He wants Jesus' attention. Son of David, have mercy on me. Many sternly ordered him to shut up, but he cried out even more loudly, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stood still and said, call him here. And they called the blind man, saying to him, take heart, get up. He is calling for you. So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Isn't that interesting? Comes right to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, what do you want me to do for you? Isn't that a wonderful question that Jesus is asking you today? What do you want me to do for you? Oh God, I want to preach clearly. I want that your people would hear the word of God. I want that people would give their life to Jesus. I want that my life be totally yours. That's what I want, Lord. And I want health by the grace of God. what man, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, Teacher, let me see again. Jesus said to him, Go, your faith has made you well. Immediately, he regained his sight and followed Jesus on the way. I believe he followed Jesus to Calvary. I believe that he followed Jesus to Calvary. And I'm going to tell you, you're never going to experience the resurrection unless you experience what he did for you at Calvary. That's where it all took place. That's where the web was woven over the world that was cut up. That's where finally death will be defeated when Jesus comes in glory. It's all about Calvary. Do you know that? Bartimaeus began to see, and he followed Jesus on the way, and Jesus is on the way to Mount Zion, on the way to Calvary. When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethphage and Bethany, near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie the colt and bring it to me. If anyone says to you, Why are you doing this? Just say this, The Lord has need of it, and will send it back immediately. They went away and found the colt tied near a door outside the street, and as they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, What are you doing untying the colt? And they told them that Jesus said and that they had need of it, and they allowed them to take it. And when they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it, many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that had been cut in the fields. And then those who were ahead and those who followed were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David! Hosanna to the Son of David! Oh, yes. You see, if Jesus can use a little donkey, my Lord, how much more can he use you and me? That donkey was privileged to walk the Mount of Olives down into Jerusalem. That little beast was privileged. When Jesus uses us, that's a privilege. That's a privilege. Just like the privilege of that little colt, it's a privilege when Jesus sits on my back and Jesus says, Touch the people, speak the word. Bless them. Do not curse them. Bless your people. Bless them all. Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom. Hosanna in the highest heaven. Then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Now who's in Bethany? Mary and Lazarus and Martha. On the following day, when they came from Bethany, he was hungry. Seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to see whether perhaps he would find anything on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves. Jesus is looking for fruit from us. And the scripture says in the 15th chapter of St. John, If you abide in me and my word abides in you, you will produce much fruit. That abiding in Jesus, that's where the fruit comes from. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. He said to it, May no one ever eat fruit from you again. and his disciples heard it. I want to tell you, I want to be a fruit producer. I want to lead people to the heart of Jesus. I want people to know through the ministry that he's given me that it's all about Jesus, Jesus the Lord, who heals the sick and who does great and awesome things. As he entered the temple and began to drive out those who were selling and those who were buying in the temple, he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he would not allow anyone to carry anything through the temple. He was teaching and saying, "Is it written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer for all the nations'?" I tell you, Holy Rosary is a house of prayer for all the nations. We've had nations coming here. St. Edward's is a house of prayer. They have adoration every morning and on Friday between 3 and 4. And people come in and are blessed. The first day I saw the people with adoration in the morning, I could perceive the glory was over the people because of the Eucharist. Oh, yes. It's all about the Eucharist. "My house shall be called a house of prayer for all the nations, but you have made it into a den of thieves." And when the chief priests and the scribes heard it, they kept looking for a way to kill him, for they were afraid of him, because the whole crowd was spellbound at his teaching. And when evening came, Jesus and his disciples went out of the city. In the morning, as they passed, they saw the fig tree withered away to its roots. And Peter remembered and said to him, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree that you cursed has withered." Jesus answered them, "Have faith in God. Truly I tell you, if you say to this mountain, 'Be taken up and thrown into the sea,' and if you do not doubt in your heart, but believe what you say, it will come to pass. It will be done for you. So I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have already received it, and it will be yours. Whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses." We see that our Lord Jesus Christ is telling us that we need to forgive and forgive and forgive and forgive. We need to forgive and forgive and forgive, because we get hurt by people. They might not even do it intentionally, but we need to forgive people. You say, "They're not worthy of my forgiveness." Well, neither am I worthy of the forgiveness of Jesus Christ on the cross. What was his first word? "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Let me tell you about what's going to happen. Days of Glory, 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th of November. I'll tell you where to go tomorrow. 9, 10, 11, and 12 of November, Days of Glory. Oh, yes, we had Days of Glory at St. Edward's in Nashville, Tennessee. God showed up. Thanks be to God. I want you to pray this week that the Lord would do mighty things at Holy Rosary and at St. Edward's, that you would pray very powerfully that God would do mighty things. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit, "Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to your word. Mary said yes. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. I need to hear from you so we can pay our bills. All of your money goes to radio so that people will hear. InSeason.net will take you to PayPal. InSeason.net will take you to PayPal. May the Lord Jesus Christ bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.